Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hi, groomers. Hey, Susie, what's up for today?
Hi, Barbara. It's so good to see your beautiful face. Welcome to episode 113 of the Groom Pod, recorded on March 5th, 2017, in snowy Snohomish, Washington again, and Tucson, Arizona. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to talk a little bit about de-shedding because guess what? Spring is just around the corner. Finally, she says as the snow continues to fall in a place that never snows. Our definition du jour continued the discussion on proteins. So you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, Google Play, or any of the podcast consolidators that you have. You can find all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner and our donation button. And we did get another $25 donation, and I forgot to note who it was. So thank you for that. And I have not sent it to you, Barbara, but it will be coming ASAP. Yay. You can also find the Amazon banner there, and you can share it with all your grooming buddies. And please remember to support our sponsors. Oh, Barbara, I have climate shock. It was 75 degrees on my last day of my vacation, and I came home to the cold and the rain, but boy, did I have a good time.
Oh, well, I'm so glad that one of us got away. you're just a role model of that. You really work more like the European model. You know, over there on the other side of the pond, in the UK, Ireland, Scotland, all of those places, they just take a lot of holidays. It's just part of their life. And, you know, we're more like the Japanese over here.
It's
never
true.
Never take a holiday. And boy, I could use a break so bad.
I know it. I watched
to do it vicariously through you, you know.
I watched my dad. He took his 3 weeks every year, but basically all he did was go to work and then take those 3 weeks of vacation and then go to work. And then I watched my grandfather who worked in, well, not really sure what he did. There's a little family controversy there. But in his later years, my grandfather and grandmother were real estate agents. And my grandfather spent his days plunking around on the rental houses and fixing stuff. And then they would go down in the summer to Florida, or they would take vacations all the time throughout their life. They didn't save it up for 3 weeks a year. They took vacation all the time. So they got to enjoy their vacations while they were still able to move around. And that is my goal. My goal is to work and vacation kind of at a, well, like a 30% vacation, 70% work ratio through the year, so that I'm consistently getting these new experiences and experiencing things while most of my body still works pretty good.
All right. That makes me even more depressed than I was.
God, I'm going to drag you with me. Don't worry.
I can't walk that 7 or 8 miles. And you know, the truth is, I'm not going to reveal it. It's not getting better.
Dang, that's not good. I don't like hearing that.
Oh, I know. I'm going to have the other knee done, and I just don't want to. I just do not want to. The hospitalization and surgery took me down so far. So much worse, and it wasn't because of the surgery. It was because of the UTI I came home with.
Right.
I'm just barely crawling out of that hole. Physically and financially.
Right.
And I'm just not willing to go back down there. I'm not willing to jerk my customers around.
Yeah, it's tough.
You know, so we'll see.
Well, so tell me about what happened while I was gone. I was out there riding roller coasters and eating candy for breakfast and doing all those fun things that I do on vacation. What were you doing?
Well, I had another episode of the continuing saga of the English Springer Spaniel group.
Get out of town.
Really? You know, we thought it was resolved Oh no, man. So this month I scheduled both dogs to come in on the same day. And so, you know, the way that we work it now that I'm kind of a little disabled is that Yvonne gets to the shop first. First thing in the morning, she does a little cleaning and she opens up and she starts the bathing and prepping. And then I limp in about 10 or 10:30 and start the finishing work and do whatever we team up from there on. Right, well, right. Sometimes she texts or calls me while I'm still at home. She contacted me to let me know that the Springer Spaniels were there, as were pictures and printed instructions and diagrams.
Diagrams?
So it was the same off the internet instructions as before, but the owner had made some lines on the photo of the dog and pointy arrows with notes about go down here, do this and that. And then she brought in the picture of the dog that I was grooming in its competition. So one of the things that I got is that this woman expects competition ring grooming every time.
Well, that's not even possible. Not in making money. You can't do that.
Well, anyway, she's got a pretty high bar of expectation going there. And, you know, I may have made a mistake right on before she even arrived when we first talked about her coming, where I said, quote, I'm coachable.
Right. Open up that door, didn't you?
Every goddamn time you come in, lady. Maybe once, maybe twice. Ugh. I can take it. But every single time you come in to say, you're not there yet, grasshopper, from a client.
Yeah.
Clients say, you're not there, grasshopper.
For a dog that's not being shown.
For a dog that's not being shown. And I just got to say, I took it personally. That was rough on my old self-image and my ego. And I, you know, it really took me the better part of the day to get over that. And I had to curse and groan and mumble and grumble. And then the other thing that happened was that I've been using as my, you know, I read her instructions, but they weren't totally clear. She forwarded me the instructions before she ever came in the first time.
Was it like from a breed group or something?
Yeah, it's from somebody who's probably had a championship dog or something.
Okay.
But it was on a pet, and it wasn't totally specific.
Right.
So I was relying as a backup reference on my notes from the grooming table.
As we all do.
And normally that serves me well. But I have to say that it really was a part of the problem this time, because notes on the grooming table shows a pattern line for the English Springer Spaniel that's pretty much the same as the Cocker Spaniel, the American Cocker.
You mean up high?
Up high.
Ah, see, I do it more like a Schnauzer.
It should be done more like a Schnauzer.
Okay.
And I wasn't wrong. I wasn't doing that wrong. Where right. I was wrong was on the legs. So although I had skimmed down the front of the front leg, I really needed to clip down the front of the front leg as well as the side of the front leg. And so here, the way that I finally got it is that I was on the precipice of a breakdown over this.
Yep.
And needing some resolution. And so in my stress, I reached out to Jody Murphy.
Good choice.
Yeah, good choice. Now, Jody Murphy, as you all will recall, we teamed up in New Zealand and Australia and co presented in those two venues there. And it was a very informal setting, unlike Super Zoo, where you go and you never even see another speaker. We all had drinks together. We all did stuff on the off days together. You know, there was a lot of social and a lot of
camaraderie.
Yeah, there was a lot of camaraderie. So Judy and I really liked her, and we got along very well. So I felt very comfortable reaching out to her. I didn't expect to hear from her even on the same day. And I was telling her that the owner was bringing me a diagram showing an actual line on the side of the front leg, and saying that I needed to clip down the whole side of the back leg, not just a deep V, as I thought.
Right.
And almost a schnauzer leg on the back. And Jody Murphy got back to me. She did a Facebook call back within 10 minutes. I mean, my computer was ringing, ding, ding, and it's Jody Murphy. And she
got back
to me right away, and she said, I could just sense that you were really distressed. How can I help you? And I went through the whole thing, and she said, the notes is wrong.
Wow.
And that's the bottom line. The notes from the grooming table is absolutely wrong on the pattern, the body pattern for the English Springer Spaniel. And that allowed me then to reconcile with what the owner was saying. The owner was actually giving me the right instructions, although not, you don't exactly want to make a clipper line down the side.
Yeah.
But it's a distinct, it's even, you know. And what Jody said is that you take that any of the furnishings on the front leg that tend to fall forward have to come off.
Right.
So, you know, so that the whole side of the front leg is clean. And then
did you do it with a 7-blade, or did you take it with shears?
I did it with a 7-blade and scissoring.
Okay. That's what I do.
Okay. And I mean, because the owner wants a 7-blade on the body. So then what I had been doing before was I had been skimming down the front because I got it that needed to be clean. But then because I was following the notes body pattern, I had too much hair left on the shoulder of the dog.
Okay.
So that has to be all cleaned off and right into the smoothness of down the side of the front leg. So right. Much more terrier-like than you would imagine.
And I think I had Michelle Evans correct my Springer. She might have been.
She was my certification judge. If you recall, my certification, my Springer was a ranch dog from a neighboring state, and I just was lucky enough to pass.
Yes.
And so Michelle was Michelle did her best with me, but that was so, you know, you just don't learn very well when you're real stressed out.
It's true.
You know, it's true. So I absorbed some things from Michelle. So Jody sent me the picture from her book of the English Springer Spaniel, and it's a brown and white dog, a liver and white, which is much more easier to see actually what had happened, what the finish work was, than this black and white. The two that I'm doing are black and white. Black pictures, you just can't see definition on black hair. It's really hard. And her picture was so clear that then I really got it. Feel that I think I'm on the home stretch with this, but it is unimaginably agonizing to be judged insufficient by your client over and over again.
I'm actually okay with being judged insufficient, but hurting a dog makes me feel awful. And I, of course, fretted over the Havanese with the autoimmune disease in his toenails, right?
Right.
And that was about 6 weeks ago. So we were coming up to their appointment. Remember, we had talked about me calling a week ahead of time just to confirm, make sure they still wanted to do the appointment and all that stuff. Just yeah. Calling up and doing my regular confirmation, only giving them an extra week notice.
Yeah.
I didn't do that, but I was down, you know, in line for Ghost Rider at Knott's Berry Farm, and my phone went off, and I looked down, and it was them texting me to push their appointment out. I was so excited because it means they're keeping their appointment. So I get another chance to make good on that adorable little Havanese. Oh. So that just made my heart swell. It just, I was so happy. I'm so happy to get the opportunity to do it right this time, to not hurt him and to have him have a really positive grooming experience. Just made my heart happy to know that they trusted me enough to give me another shot. So that was cool. I was pretty doggone excited about that.
All right.
Yep. And then we were over in Disneyland waiting to go into Blue Bayou Restaurant for dinner, which is the restaurant inside Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh. And my phone went off again and I looked down and it was Sadie. And I thought, who's Sadie? And then I remembered who Sadie was. It's the 8-month-old golden doodle that I had such a terrible time with. And they were making another appointment.
Wow.
So
that was
now
another one where you took it personally.
Totally. So now I had, number one, decided she was never calling me back. There was no way she was going to call me back. I was pretty certain of that. And number two, if she did call me back, I was going to just not do the dog because it would probably be too far out in the grooming cycle where I wouldn't, you know, where I would know the dog would be tangled and I would end up doing exactly the same thing. Well, no, it's only been 6 weeks. That dog is going to be tangle free. So I'm going to be able to go in, do the groom before the bath, then bathe the dog, partially dry it, send it in wet, and achieve the look that she wants because she does schedule the dog often enough. So instead of being anxious and worried about it, I'm actually excited to fix that in my own head, that issue that I had with that dog.
Good.
Yeah.
Great.
Progress. Yes. And I'm not, I debated, should I not do it? And then I thought, no, she's calling at the right time. It's going to be okay. And then, of course, I did a couple other new dogs and both got text messages afterwards saying they looked great and they were so happy. And that made me feel good. And I have one of Danielle's dogs coming up and that's good. And my bottom line is looking better and that's good. So, you know, I'm trending in a positive direction.
That's great. All right.
I did want to mention the Northwest Grooming Show is coming up on April 20th through 23rd in Tacoma, Washington. And all of our listeners and my friends who might listen and or hear about this, I am only going to go to the show on Sunday because my diabetic cat makes it difficult for me to leave the house early. So I can't get down there since it's so far away until well into the second set of classes. So I'm just not going to, it's too much for me. So I'm going to go down Sunday. I'll plan for that. After we record the podcast, I'll whiz down to Tacoma and spend the afternoon down there. But I'm not going to be able to attend the show really until the cat is gone. And I don't want the cat to go anywhere. So I'm not going to do it. So for those of you who were wondering, that's the way it is. I'll be down there on Sunday though. So find me on Sunday. You know, I'll be somewhere near the Creative Ring when that's happening. And I've got some shopping to do and a couple interviews to do. So that is the gig, the story about the Northwest Grooming Show.
So I want to just make a completion on my talk about the English Springer Spaniels.
Okay.
I really do think that the reference to have is Jody Murphy's book, Grooming Simplified.
Okay, I'm going to have to go out and buy that.
Yeah, I think it's a better book, you know. And
is it something we get probably on her website?
Yeah, I'll post a link on our website. But the thing of it is she uses real pictures of real dogs, and it just makes it a little bit easier. And she's very explicit. She's very color coded. She uses colors to show different lengths that you leave different areas. It's very easy. It's really easy to understand. And after this experience, I'm just really and the way that picture that she sent me, just galvanized my understanding of the breed trim. I am now a huge supporter of the Jody Murphy book.
Okay, so her website is jodymurphy.net. That is Jodi Murphy, murphy.net. And on her website, which is probably the best way to get that book because then she gets the most amount of the money, would be, it's $75. It's called Grooming, Dog Grooming Simplified, and it is available right there on her webpage. So do that, folks. So let's support Barbara. Let's support Jody for supporting Barbara. I mean, how cool is that? Industry icons calling each other and having, you know, the ability to share and right on the spot through Facebook, help each other right there with a grooming problem. I think that's pretty cool, Barbara.
Yeah, I was impressed, and it's so nice to have a friend like that.
Yes.
Because it gets harder. When you kind of move up the ranks in the industry, it gets harder on who can you turn to get who are you going to give power to critique your groom?
Yes, I'm always standing just a little bit below, reaching up to the people who are just higher than me on the rung of success. But you, on the other hand, you're already up there near the top. There isn't much to reach for. You got to go to the side.
I think it really speaks well of our industry that there's just like not a lot of competitiveness amongst us. You know?
It certainly is headed that way. It seemed like when I started, which is nowhere near when you started, but it seemed like when I started, people were more backstabby and less friendly. But I think the grooming industry shows, and basically the internet has made it so that we are way more supportive and friendly than we used to be in the old days. And
there's always room for improvement. There's always room for improvement. And there's always a range.
Yep. And we've said it before, and I will say it again. It's going to be you having to do the work. You're going to have to reach out, and you have to be the person. Because if you expect somebody else to do it, probably not going to happen. Unless you live in the Northwest, and then I'm pestering everybody all the time. Cool. We're going to skip trivia this week because I knew that our chatting in the beginning was going to run over. So let's take a moment and hear from Best Shot. And then we will be back for our first appointment, which is about de-shedding tools. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner. And what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Barbara, spring is here next week. Next week, I'm so happy. I'm so tired of this winter. This has been a brutal winter for us up here.
Yeah, it has been for you. We have had a mild winter, but I'm always ready for even milder. Although March tends to be a windy month in Tucson, and I'm not a fond of wind. I'm not a fan of wind. Wind is unsettling to me.
Oh, I like it.
It just makes me feel bleh. word to it, bleh.
There's the March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb, and I'm sure hoping that's what's going to happen because, like I said, it's still snowing here.
Enough of that word. I think that's across the country. There's a lot of people that are saying enough of this white stuff.
Very true. My horse's coat is usually my first indicator of spring showing up, and she is just starting to release her hair. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to start to find it in the dogs too. And really, all that hair releasing time is money for me. That just is, I see that hair flying and I think, oh boy, I love de-shedding dogs. I really dig it. It's very gratifying. It's easy to see start to finish. It doesn't cost me to have to give a haircut. I mean, it's usually one of my favorite things to do. And here we are. It's time for de-shedding. So let's start with, what kind of tools can you use in your bathtub that will help you with de-shedding?
Well, water pressure.
And a recirculating bathing system, huh?
Recirculating bathing system, water pressure, and conditioner.
Right. So the recirculating bathing system, it really gets each of the hair shafts coated with whatever it is you're trying to coat with, right?
Right. It has a great application. You know, how I used to do it before recirculating was I would mix up one or two pitchers full. So I'd use about 4 ounces of conditioner and then fill a gallon pitcher. Yeah, and then stir it. And then if it was a big dog, I'd have 2 of those pitchers. And so that would be 8 ounces of conditioner.
That's a lot of conditioner.
I would pour that conditioner on, work it through the coat, and then rinse it all through the coat and hope that I reached all the spots. But with the Bathing Beauty, I use 1 or 2 ounces in a bath, and that's it. And I get the same great, well, okay, I'll admit that if I have something like a German Shepherd that tends to get kind of a packed situation on the haunches or on the chest area,
right?
I might put some conditioner on there full strength by hand.
Right, spot application.
Spot application. And one of my favorite conditioners to facilitate de-shedding is from Sally Beauty called Cure Care.
Like C-U-R-E, Cure?
Cure Care.
Okay.
And it's cheap.
Oh, I like that.
So look at, listen to me. It's like less than $10 a gallon.
Holy cow, that's cheap.
And it loves dog hair.
Oh, nice.
And it's got keratin protein in it. I'm on the keratin thing right now. I'm on the protein wagon right now. So I've used this product for years, and they no longer have it in the small bottles. You have to buy a gallon, and hopefully it hasn't been totally discontinued, because it's so good to have an inexpensive conditioner that's going to release hair that you can apply directly to those packed haunches. But here's the deal with the Bathing Beauty. If you want to get even more deep penetration of the water into the coat, you can take the nozzle off totally and then just have a, like, it's like a 2 fingers of water straight pressure into that coat, and the water pressure doesn't vary according to your water pressure. It's from
right. You mean like when you were spraying your car down before we had all these fancy nozzles, and you just stick your thumb over the end of the hose and make a strong stream?
You don't have to stick your thumb over the hose when you use the Bathing Beauty without the nozzle attached. It just makes like let's say a thumb's width.
Okay. Just a solid, forceful
solid spurt, you know, and it just, and a lot of water pressure, because the more you spread out the spray, the more it diffuses the pressure. So if you condense that spray into just 1 solid thumb width of water out there, it's just really digging into that coat, and you can get into the deepest coats that way.
I'm going to try that.
So I also recommend that when you're trying to de-shed in the tub, to use some motion with your recirculating bather.
And like wiggle the wand?
You know, yeah, you know, like similarly to how you would do it if you were blowing it out with the HV dryer.
So a little back and forth.
Back and forth is going to really help that coat come out. And you can get tons of coat out in the tub.
Do you ever like take one of the old fashioned straight up rakes and try to rake some of that out while you're in there?
Yeah, I like to use the wide tooth wooden handle poodle comb.
That's a good one.
I don't recommend using a slicker brush. Some people do, but here again, you need to be a little mindful in the tub that you can cause hair breakage if you're stretching that coat and tugging on that coat when it's wet, because wet coat is weak coat.
Okay.
Wet is weak. When you put water on hair, it breaks the hydrogen bonds. And those are the bonds that allow for the tensile strength of the hair. And so it's weak. It can be stretched to the breaking point. And you don't want to do that. I just respect the hair. You use whatever works.
Right.
But what I don't get, what I'm not on board with yet, are bath brushes.
Tell me about those.
Well, you know, usually these bath brushes, they come in either two kinds. They're either a plastic bristle brush.
That's what I have.
And those kind of plastic bristles can cause a lot of cuticle damage to the hair. I just can't recommend them. I just can't see it being a good thing.
Well, I've actually put that away.
A rubber nubby brush.
Yeah.
You know, with rubber fingers, like a Zoom groom.
Right, the Zoom groom or the Zoom horse. Groom. The horses have the curry comb.
Zoom groom was one of the first de-shedding tools that was around decades ago. It's still a really good choice. And it's
especially for those short hair dogs.
And for shorter hair dogs, well, you can get stuff out of there with the Zoom groom that you're not getting with a rake, because it creates a little static cling on the rubber tines, or they're not bristles, but on the pointy things.
Yes, the little nubs, the little rubber nubs.
Yeah. So you can use that, a wide tooth comb.
Have you seen the Save Your Fur nozzles?
I am somewhat familiar with the Save Your Fur system.
Yeah, it's kind of a more focused nozzle, similar to the one that the Bathing Beauty or Hydrosurge has.
And so it's more like three nozzles, right? Three nozzles in one. Well, the Save Your Fur, it's designed specifically for de-shedding in the tub. Right. The Bathing Beauty is a more multi-purpose.
A multitasker as opposed to a unitasker.
Yeah.
So sometimes people get out their HV dryer and blast some of the hair out while it's wet. Is that a good or bad idea? Or have you ever tried it?
I've never tried it.
I haven't tried it either.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I don't think it's a bad idea, but I've never done it, because to tell the truth, I don't know why I've never done it. I'll try it this year, but I don't really have very many de-shedding dogs anymore, because I'm just not doing those breeds anymore. I'm turning them away. And it's just because of my own physical, you know, I'm a 77-year-old working with a 59-year-old assistant who's not in much better shape than I am.
Yeah, that makes it tough.
So we just don't, we have one little chow mix that comes regularly. We've got a couple of corgis that need de-shedding, but, you know, we don't have those. I used to love that, especially in my beginnings and before I was really confident of my scissoring and my styling. I just loved that I could do such a good job de-shedding. You know, and I'm one of those people that sees wolves on TV and I want to groom them.
I think we all do. Well, I'll tell you, I enjoy blowing out the dogs. I just love, especially like an Australian Shepherd with some really matted back end, and you know the owner can never get through it, and yet you put the products on in the bath, you do all the stuff we just talked about, then you pull out your dryer, put the dog on the drying table, and you blast away, and the hair just starts flying everywhere, and it turns my trailer into a cotton candy machine, and I'm the stick, and the hair swirling everywhere around. I think it's really fun. I always put a mask on because it is an enclosed facility there, my grooming trailer, but I find that the nozzle I'm using makes a big difference. Some of those really severely closed cone nozzles really can take some of that hair off on some of the bigger dogs.
There again, it's the same thing as taking the nozzle off the Bathing Beauty. You're creating a more powerful condensed force.
Yes, and it works.
And it works, you know. Yeah, the cone nozzle is the that's the place. That's the time and place for sure.
And that's pretty much the only time I use the big one, the really focus down cone nozzle, is when I'm taking out undercoat out of a dog that's once a year, you know. So most of the time I'm using my new water peeler, which I love, that little flat one from Marlene. That is the bomb. I haven't picked up my long rectangular one for a long time. It's pretty much since I got that new little one. I like that a lot. Also, do you spray on any products before you HV dry, or do you figure that we've done enough in the bath and conditioning?
I would use more spray. Yes, I would. I would use more spray, and because I find, even though you've loaded the hair with conditioner in the tub, a silicone spray and your finish work, it's just so helpful. What can I say?
I know it. Sometimes I'll brush up the pants and I'll hit it with the spray. Yeah. You know, even though I've worked through a lot of that, just to get a fresh application of slipperiness right on top of that hair shaft to get the rest of that fluff out of there. It's so much fun. And, you know, it's really an area where the owners can't do as good a job as we can. So it makes, you know, it's very gratifying. I like it. It's fun.
Well, what are your favorite hard tools to use?
Well, I like using that Chris Christensen wooden pin brush. I use that a lot, especially in the bath. I use that to encourage hair to come out, but the also while brush, I'm drying.
The 16 millimeter T brush?
I use that too. I love that. It grabs a lot of hair. It's really good for the pants, for the breeches of the dog. Sometimes, actually, on the really short dogs, like, for instance, the white bulldog. I love the bulldogs. Oh, here's a happy story. Let me just, an aside, a tangent, if you will. You know, I've been doing the bulldogs for probably 5 appointments now.
Yep.
I got to the door when I did them this last week. I got to the door and the grandmother is there, and she opened the door, and the bigger bulldog, the young one, barreled past me and ran to the grooming trailer and sat at the door.
Oh my God.
I know. It was so cool. And she's a tall bulldog. For a bulldog, she's tall, but she's still way down lower than my tub. She actually tried to help me by jumping up into the bathtub. But that girl, she is a shedder, man. So I pull out my classic stripping knife and I card all of those tiny little hairs off. So that's another one of my go-to tricks.
Yeah, I use stripping knives as carding tools on the shorter haired dogs, and sometimes on plush hair, plush coat like corgis, I'll use a fine comb.
Yes, me too, because you can get under there and get some of that stuff that's
surprised that you can still get more. So I like to keep de-shedding until the coat passes the pinch test.
And what's the pinch test?
Well, the pinch test is, can I go to different areas of the dog and I pinch and pull. And if I get a cluster of hairs, it's not done yet.
And if that is a great technique.
Just one or two hairs, we're probably ready to go home. Right, right.
Cool.
So the pinch test, and that's what I always use with my my assistants always hate me because I am a thorough de-shedder. I really am. I mean, if you're going to, I believe in charging for it.
Yep.
You know, there's a huge difference between a kennel bath and a de-shedding.
Yeah, a lot of work.
Huge difference between a kennel bath, wash and go, and a deep de-shedding. And I don't charge extra for de-shedding, but that dog's price on that day is going to reflect the time and effort that I spent on it. I like to be thorough. So do you ever try to stop the shedding?
I have wondered if it's even possible to stop the shedding. I know that sometimes it seems like when I do a de-shed, then I've encouraged more hair to come out.
And I think we do.
Yeah.
I think especially if we use conditioning products that soften the skin and the hair, that we encourage more hair to go. But let me say this, all the hair that's shedding is in the resting phase. But
okay.
Some hairs are still clinging on a little bit tighter than other hairs.
And
Right. If you were to do a total dry de-shedding, which I do not recommend because you're really going to risk damaging the coat and it's unhealthy for you.
Yeah.
Let's be clear about that. I do not advise blowing out a dog before you put it in the bath. You do not want to blow all of that crap into your breathing space.
Yeah, specifically poop and flea eggs and tapeworm eggs and stuff like that. You don't want to breathe that stuff.
Just dander and that. You don't want to be breathing that stuff. I don't want to breathe anything but clean hair. And then I'll wear, and de-shedding time is time to wear a mask.
Always.
Just do it.
Yep.
So when you soften the coat and the skin, you encourage the maximum amount of release of hair. So hair that was still hanging on by a thread, so to speak, just by static cling, you're getting rid of that.
Right. It's giving up the ship.
And some of that release might continue when they go home. So even though it's passing the pinch test for you, tomorrow might be another day. There may be more coat. And also, if you're doing dogs real regularly and you're de-shedding them and you reach a point of saying, enough already.
Yeah.
One thing you can do is to use an acidifier like Results Rinse to kind of close the hair cuticle and close the skin pores around the follicle and kind of tighten the skin around the remaining hair. So then you're doing the opposite of encouraging release. You're encouraging the skin to hang on to the hair.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's a possibility. It can just.
Right. So for instance, if you've done a nice de-shed on a dog and then you get them back in a month and you see that they're still, let's say, ejecting hair, then maybe after you do the bath, then that time you do the Results Rinse so that all of the work you've done in the past two baths then can be held in a little bit better and maybe stop the flow.
You might be able to kind of put the brakes on it a little bit by using an acidifier, raising the pH, lowering the pH, actually.
Yes.
Okay. So cool. What else do we know about de-shedding? We got to talk about the Furminator.
Yes, I was going to say it's one of the things I used to reach for, but I don't really anymore.
I still occasionally reach for a Furminator tool, especially to do areas like forelegs.
Whether it's a little awkward.
So it like where I would be similarly using a stripping knife to card, I might use the Furminator if it's a larger dog in a larger area.
Okay, I can see that.
But I think that we can cause a lot of damage to the primary hairs. What we're trying to do is we're really releasing, what's releasing in shedding is secondary hairs, the undercoat. That primary hairs, the top coat, it lasts for years. It does not replace itself every spring and fall like the undercoat does. Those big fat primary hairs stick on there sometimes for 7 years. Well, the Furminator can actually just crack down the hair cuticle, just gouge all the way down the hair cuticle. And then that causes kind of invisible damage to hair cuticle where water, moisture of the hair is lost, the coat can become dry and brittle. It's just a kind of a brutal tool.
Yeah, that it, you know, I used to, my clients used to come to me all the time asking about the Furminator. And I have long since stopped recommending clients to get it because of the damage.
Yeah, and clients, I don't think pet owners really understand how to use it, and they're likely to apply too much pressure, and they can actually abrade the skin of their dogs.
And often do.
And, you know, to be honest, I have.
Me too.
Caused abrasions. I remember a golden retriever, and I never saw them again. You know, at least I owned it. But yeah. We need to be careful with our tools, with our de-shedding, that we're not aggressive in terms of how much force we apply to the skin. And if you're using sharp tools.
Speaking of sharp tools, let's transition. This is a perfect segue into the Coat Kings. Coat Kings are sharp.
They're only sharp when they're new, Susie.
Well, I still whack my finger with them occasionally.
But I hurt myself with a Coat King.
Well, maybe I don't use them often enough to dull them down enough, but I do find they are useful for encouraging some of that undercoat to come out. But you can also cut hair with them, and that can be bad.
Yeah.
Do you use them much?
I use them quite a bit. I have medium Coat Kings that I use a lot on my terriers. You know, my choice of tools for a de-shedding, for a dog that I'm de-shedding on the table, I might go through two or three tools until I find one that's getting the result that I want.
Right, experiment, yeah. Trial and error.
And I don't, you know, the Coat Kings don't work for everybody, but they don't work on every coat, but I use them. And
they don't even work on every part of the dog. Sometimes they just work really well on the pants.
Yeah, or the rough.
Yes, there's places where it's an essential tool and you always want to have it with you. But then again, that's another tool I would never give to a client.
One area where that's an interesting area that groomers often miss or don't do a really good job on.
Where's that?
I would say that right in front of the base of the tail.
Yeah, he gets packed up there.
It gets packed up there, and that's one area where I most often find that my assistant du jour has
not hit that spot real good with the dryer.
Yeah, not hit that spot real good. Let's not fail to say that the best shot system really works.
It does really work. It is my go-to de-shedding product. Product line, I should say. And it can be their Ultra Wash, or it can be the Ultimate, or any, actually pretty much anything in their regular lines has de-shedding magic built right in. Good point. I forgot about that.
And what they're doing, what they're using to promote good de-shedding is a combination of hydrolyzed protein ingredients and silicone.
Excellent. Well, let's take a quick break and we will hear from South Bark Professional Pet Products. And then we're going to come back for our definition du jour, where Barbara's going to tell us more about proteins. All right?
All right.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. The definition du jour. Definition du jour time, Barbara. Fill us in more about proteins and how they work in the Best Shot products and in all products.
Well, I've been kind of dancing around with these proteins, and I did some additional reading this past week, and I read a couple of studies.
Okay.
So who studies conditioning ingredients? Most often they're studied by the chemical suppliers, the big guys who supply global demand for ingredients.
Okay.
And one of those companies is called Croda, C-R-O-D-A. So I read a Croda study of their hydrolyzed wheat protein ingredient. It was real technical, and I'm not going to bore you with all of it, but they actually showed that their hydrolyzed protein penetrated the hair cuticle and deposited inside the cortex. And they had, like radioactive isotopes that they, it was real complex in how they got there, but I saw the picture.
Neat.
And I saw what they said, that it was deposited all within the cortex. And so I have to say that there are some protein ingredients that are going to penetrate and actually deliver moisture to the cortex of the hair. Not all protein ingredients are created equal.
Well, that's interesting.
So whether or not any ingredient penetrates into the inner area of the hair shaft depends on the molecular weight of the ingredient. When they hydrolyze proteins, there are different processes. Some of them are, sometimes they use an acid. Most often they use an enzyme. Enzymatic hydrolyzation, I can say that, results in a more small, so the process of hydrolyzation breaks the protein into its smaller components.
Okay.
Amino acid type, and the building blocks of amino acids are peptides and polypeptides. So you get, when you kind of crack the protein through the hydrolyzation process, you get a range of molecular weights in your result.
In the finished product.
The finished product.
Okay.
Now, we know that this particular Croda W product offered by this one supplier has a low enough molecular weight that it is absorbed into the inner hair shaft. Now, another form of hydrolyzed wheat protein might not do that, but on the whole, hydrolyzed wheat protein offers a good moisturization and some benefit of bringing moisture into the hair shaft, depending on how it's manufactured. And we don't, we never are going to know that.
Right.
Because that's way beyond wanting an ingredient list. What's your molecular weight? Well, I know. Okay, so there's a question you can ask you if you get a particular feisty sales rep at a beauty show.
What's the molecular weight of your hydrolyzed protein?
Yes, what's the molecular weight of your hydrolyzed protein?
I like it.
Anything below, I'll tell you the criteria. Anything below 1,000 Daltons, Daltons are the form of measurement of molecular weight. Anything below 1,000 Daltons is likely to be small enough to offer penetration. Now, silicones, on the other hand, the like amodimethicone, they're engineered so as to be 10,000 Daltons, and they, when they're that weight, they stay on the surface of the hair.
And don't penetrate.
So what you get when you add hydrolyzed protein and a good silicone, let's say a good hydrolyzed protein and a good silicone, you have the ability to fill in all the cracks and crevices and slices and dices on your hair shaft, on the outer part of your hair shaft. Yet it, the wheat protein will like fill that all in, take some moisture into the inside, add moisture to hair that has dried out from the inside.
That's hopefully then, making it grow more healthy.
Then, so we'll hold that thought about growth. Okay.
Yeah.
So the protein fills it all in. It's like mortar, right? Fills all in all of the cracks and crevices, and then the silicone seals it all with a fine film that is in itself glass-like and slippery. Okay. And so that's kind of what the best shot, especially the conditioner and the spray. That's what they're doing. They're
all
using
right.
that combination. It's not just a silicone. It's not just a protein.
Well, it works. That's all I know. And it works well.
But I was really informed to see that some wheat protein is indeed penetrable, because before I thought maybe only panthenol was.
Okay.
What's the benefit of keratin protein? Keratin versus wheat? Keratin is the same protein. Hair is made of keratin.
Right.
So even though you can't just throw keratin at a hair shaft and expect it to repair the hair shaft, it will, if it has been hydrolyzed with an enzyme, made into smaller, less than 1,000 Dalton units, it has the amino acid profile that is identical to your hair. So it's going to do a more thorough job of whatever.
Is it going to fill in the cracks and stuff like the protein?
Cracks too, yes. All hydrolyzed proteins, their job is to fill in the cracks.
All right.
And not be too heavy, and they're not waxy.
So the keratin does it more mimicking.
It more mimics the hair. The amino acids are more usable to the hair because they're identical to the keratin in your hair. Okay.
All right.
But it's still, if it's an unhydrolyzed keratin, it would just be like throwing bricks on a brick house. You know,
right, they're not going to stick.
They're not going to go inside. They're not going to
fill in any holes.
Yeah. So I've been all over this protein stuff in my mind for a whole week. And I remembered about doing protein treatments. Oh, I know what happened. I was reading, we were talking on our webpage to the woman who had the two collies that she was grooming, and she was having a terrible time with the coat, and I recommended that she do a protein treatment.
Right.
And so the protein treatment products that are available to groomers that I know about are the Chris Christensen Thick and Thicker. is just protein stuff, and Equus Megatech, which comes in a jar, it's just loaded with proteins. Both of those products are kind of expensive, but I found a product at Sally Beauty.
Yay!
I don't know how I found it. Somebody directed me to this product. It's a product for human hair, and they use it as a pre-color treatment. But it's both keratin and wheat protein.
Ooh, that's good.
That's all. I mean, and then it's got some peptides in the, but it's all hydrolyzed keratin, hydrolyzed wheat protein, and other similar wheat and keratin derivatives. Okay.
Is that something you would apply after the bath?
It's something you would apply. So how we used it.
Okay.
So we used it on our 14-year-old toy poodle that comes often. And he's got old skin and limp old hair. So I thought, Jet would be a good candidate for a protein treatment. So I use this protein treatment in between, I use it instead of a conditioner.
Okay.
So we bathe the dog, and then I had to directly apply the protein filler and then wait 10 minutes at least.
Okay, so it really has to have time to do its job.
If you want anything to penetrate anything, you got to give it time to do so.
Very true.
You know, if it's not acting ionically by electrostatic force, which is like that,
yep,
got to give something time. So we always have to give medicated products time, we give colored treatment products time, and we give conditioning treatment products time. And 10 minutes is a minimum. So I said,
okay.
So we gave him 10 minutes and maybe more because we got doing something together. And the coat came out so nice, Susie, and his skin looked good. That's another thing. Hydrolyzed protein is good for the skin.
Well, that seems like a win-win. Was it an expensive product?
No, this is so cheap. I can't seem to find it in a 16 ounce. On Amazon, you can get 4 ounces for $8.17. I mean, the Chris Christensen Thick and Thicker is like $29, $35, something. I mean, those products are costly.
Yep.
You want to be free to use them kind of amply. You
right,
know?
Liberally.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So this is just, you know, here I am again at Sally Beauty directing groomers to human products, but that's me. If it works and I know the ingredients and I don't see any red flags, I'm going to use it. And I don't see any red flags about this.
So silly question, what department in Sally Beauty is this product going to be in? What's it going to be in there?
It might be in the color.
Okay.
In the color department, because it's recommended to be used before you do a color treatment. It's intended to even out the porosity of the hair.
Okay.
For a color treatment. Well, for any kind of damaged coat, that's what you want to do. You want to even out the porosity of the hair.
Absolutely.
So,
cool.
I bet it would help de-shedding too.
Yeah, I bet it
would. We'll have to try some. You know what? We'll have to try some adding it to a conditioner. I'll do that.
Okay, and report on it.
Yeah, I'll see. If I get something to de-shed in there, I'm going to try just adding a shot of this protein filler stuff to my Bathing Beauty conditioning. Okay.
Is it viscous? Is it liquidy?
Oh, it's liquidy.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm excited to find it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's an interesting product, and it's the protein.
All right, folks, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week on the Groom Pod. Barbara, I loved chatting with you. I missed you last week, even though I was flying.
We had a wonderful time, and I just basically rested.
Yeah, okay, that's good. But we will be back next week, and we'll talk further about calming language and lots of other fun stuff in store. So happy grooming, folks. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next time on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Bye, groomers. Bye, Susie.
Bye, Barbara.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.